This is Ozarks at Large. 2 weeks ago, Democratic State Senator Paul Bookout resigned from office after an Ethics Commission fine regarding him using campaign money for personal use. This week, Republican and Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar exited the 4th District Congressional race after a blog called the Blue Hog Report uncovered discrepancies on his campaign filings. Recently, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with Dr. Jay Barth, professor of political science with Hendricks College, to discuss ethics in Arkansas.
This ethics debate and this momentum that is building around discussion of ethics and what might happen at the legislature, not happen at the legislature, is it peaking too early in terms of allowing for something to be done? I mean, might we be tired of talking about ethics by the 2015 session?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it's happening at a crucial time, actually, in terms of candidates' decisions to run. And, you know, as Lieutenant Governor Dar's departure from that race reshapes that 4th district race, I think, in an important way. I don't think this is too early. And not only do we have the elections that are going to be part of the cycle, but we also, of course, have the initiative that constitutional amendment that's been proposed by the legislature, which is going to be voted on in 14, and then of course the 15 session. And so I think we're going to hear a lot about ethics, and it's about time. I mean, it's we've had these kind of bursts of interest in ethics reform over the years, especially in the late 80s, early 90s. Got into the national mainstream on ethics, but since then it's really kind of stagnated.
And we may hear more about ethics just by the simple fact that there may be more carcasses on the side of the road before this is all over, because there is this renewed scrutiny and looking at a lot of these different public filings that are out there. And, you know, I would make the point, too, Mark Dar's filings were out there for 2 to 3 years. Bookout's have been out there for longer than that.
Right. And you noted, you know, who broke the story. And this is not mainstream media. This is a blog-based journalism. And that's what these guys, I think, do particularly well, is that they have the patience to dig into these reports. One of the big problems with the Arkansas ethics system, it's very hard to difficult to find this information. You really have to go through these often blurry PDF files, and it takes a lot of patience. And, you know, kudos to these guys who are beginning to uncover these stories.
There could be some minor reforms done in 2014. As we reported about a week ago, talked with Graham Sloan at the Ethics Commission, talked to some of the legislators that are out there. They could, in the 2014 fiscal session, add more staff to the Ethics Commission to kind of review or even preview some of these reports as they come in. Do you see that as something that may or may not happen?
I think it's an important addition, no matter what happens long term, because it's an understaffed group, very small staff. And that staff, I think, has been pretty flat over the last number of years. And so I think that is an important change. And they're certainly going to need more staff if there is some legislative action that kind of increases the scope and nature of ethics scrutiny in the state.
What do we know about voters and ethics? We've polled this a little bit in the past. You've obviously looked at some other polling information and data, not just in Arkansas, but nationwide. What do voters like about ethics? What do they not like about ethics? Where are they kind of centered on the subject matter?
Well, it's kind of mom and apple pie, right? I mean, who doesn't like ethics? some would argue that some ethics issues are a little intrusive into the lobbying.
I can think of some former legislators that don't like ethics.
And a few lobbyists who don't like ethics reform. It's, you know, these things, when they've been on the ballot in 88, 90, they passed overwhelmingly. And, you know, the polling that we've done around a similar ethics package that was considered put out there for petition in the last cycle, you know, it was going to be a slam dunk if it had made it on the ballot. You know, that's a very difficult process. They didn't get there with the petitions. An initiative is going forward from the legislature. It is a little more complicated because it's got some other bells and whistles tagged on it. Some bells and whistles may actually be a little bit of a problem for that.
Well, hold that thought there. Let's pull up a graphic here, I think, that we have. Let's talk about this ballot item that you're talking about referred by the legislature. This ethics proposal will be on the ballot at the general election in 2014. It would ban gifts to elected officials. It would ban corporate and union contributions. It would extend term limits to 16 years cumulative in the legislature, extend that cooling off period for a legislator to become a lobbyist from 1 year to 2 years, and create this Citizens Commission to set elected official salaries. It's got some specifics as to who. So I guess, do you think that the term limits aspect of this, which is a highly contentious issue with voters, does that kill this potential reform, or do you think it just cuts into its support?
I don't, you know, I think this is still a significant favorite. We haven't polled this this whole package yet. I do think that the way in which it's framed as an ethics reform package. I think that's the lead, and I think that probably does help. I do think there, for the, if there is money to fight it, there are two, I think, real points of attack. I think, as you mentioned, the term limits extension is I think, an important line of attack with this thing. And I do think also, you know, the final item that you mentioned, which is the possible expansion of salaries, is another point of attack. And so we will see if there's the money and resources to do it. I'm a little dubious whether those who have historically opposed ethics reform are going to get that involved in this because of the way in which the tides are blowing. I guess I've mixed a metaphor there, but the winds are blowing on ethics in Arkansas. There's one other piece to this. This reform is not a absolute gift ban. It does allow dinners to be paid for groups, identifiable groups, committees, etc. That's a point of some real controversy about this, and kind of ethics purists don't like that very much.
Doesn't go as far as the Walmart rule, which is you banning everything, even down to a cup of coffee. You can't really spend a dime on them, so there is a little bit of flexibility there. All right, we're seeing something, too. I'm going to shift gears with you a little bit, but stay on the realm of politics. We're seeing something that we have not seen a lot, if ever, in Arkansas, and that we have contested Republican primaries, and there seems to be a lot of them. And what we see in the Democratic side of the field is what we used to see on the Republican side, and that is uncontested primaries, where there seems to be almost some favoritism and some clearing of the field going on. What do you make of this trend? Are we seeing some flip of the equation?
We are in some ways. I mean, you know, one sign of a healthy party is competitive primaries, and this used to be the norm in the Democratic side, as you suggest. The potential problem for a party is if that competitiveness turns into factionalism, right, and really divides the party in an important way. I think that's an important question. Is this really going to lead to some kind of more moderate candidates versus more Tea Party candidates that creates some problems moving forward with maybe slightly less electable candidates being nominated?
I think same could be said on the Democratic side, though, in the past, too. You could have someone going way too far left and someone not quite in the center.
Right. And we have, I think, seen a couple of cases of that. I think one thing is a little different. You know, back in the day when it was this, you know, Democratic primary was very active, there often were just token candidates on the other side. And I do think, you know, when you look at Mike Ross, when you look at John Burkhalter, I mean, those are quite good candidates. And in fact, I think they were probably advantaged by having their primary fields cleared. That said, I think that all things being equal, you know, you'd rather have that be the center of action rather than a place where people aren't showing up.
That was Dr. Jay Barth, professor of political science with Hendricks College, speaking to Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at aecc.com.